When the brethren ask anyone to take the responsibility of a meeting such as this, one goes through exercises. One asks himself, what would the Lord want us to look into? It's quite a responsibility. But I thought that perhaps we could look this afternoon at the Word of God and our attitude towards it, and that which the Lord would expect in us, the reverence and respect towards the Word of God, and even in connection with bringing the Word of God before men, be the unsaved or saved. And we had some thoughts about the Word of God already yesterday afternoon in our Brother Hayhoe's address. And I thought we should read, first of all, some passages in the Old Testament. I'm thinking of several verses in Isaiah 66 and also Jeremiah 15. Isaiah 66, verse 1. Thus says the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye build unto me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things has mine hand made, and all those things have been, says the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. Then we read in Jeremiah 15. Verse 16. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. I sat not in the assembly of the mockers, nor rejoiced. I sat alone because of thy hand, for thou hast filled me with indignation. Why is my pain perpetual and my wound incurable, which refuses to be healed? Wilt thou be altogether unto me as a liar and as waters that fail? Therefore, thus says the Lord, if thou return, then will I bring thee again, and thou shalt stand before me. And if thou take forth the precious from the wild, thou shalt be as my mouth. Let them return unto thee, but return not thou unto them. And I will make thee unto this people a fenced brazen wall, and they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee. For I am with thee to save thee and to deliver thee, says the Lord. And I will deliver thee out of the hand of the wicked, and I will redeem thee out of the hand of the terrible. Now we have in the first scripture a statement which you might think to be a contradiction of what we have in Jeremiah. We have there a statement that the Lord would look to the one that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word. Yet in Jeremiah 15 we find that thy words were found and I did eat them, and they were the joy and rejoicing to my heart. How can these two things be present in a believer at the same time? I believe the first scripture shows what God is looking for in way of reverential fear and godly exercise when we open this book. God expects that of you. He expects that of me. That when we open this book, that we are conscious of the fact that this is the Word of God and that God is speaking to us. And God prefers that kind of attitude far beyond any activity and busyness for God. You know, we might be very active, like building a house for God, yet do not have the poor and contrite heart. We do not tremble at the word of God. We are not showing the willingness to bow to it when God presents it to us. But we're living in a world where activity is pressed and stressed. And I believe we need to be reminded of what God is looking for. There's nothing wrong with activity for the Lord. When Paul was saved, the first thing he asked when the Lord met him on the road to Damascus, he said, "What thou, Lord?" The second thing is, "What wilt thou have me to do?" I believe every true child of God will desire to please the Lord and will do something for the one that so wonderfully saved us. And activity is not wrong, but it must be coupled with godly fear. Must be governed, our activity must be governed by the Word of God and by the truth of God. Well, we find in Jeremiah 15 that the servant of God is in difficult circumstances because of his faithfulness to God. And in the midst of these difficult circumstances, the Word of God is a source of joy and rejoicing. And what a wonderful thing it is that we can turn in such difficult times when perhaps our service for Him is misunderstood. When, like the Lord Himself, for love we reap hatred, that then the Word is a source of comfort, encouragement, and joy. And we do find that this man is a separated man. And we have often probably heard these verses referred to. The precious must be separated from the wild. And separation is necessary. Discernment is necessary. What is of God, what we can go on with and support, and what we have to reject. Let them return unto thee. That's the statement of the Lord to such a faithful servant. We don't have much time. I'd like to turn now to Timothy. 2 Timothy. I believe most of us in this room know that this second epistle to Timothy is especially an epistle that applies to our day, because it presents the house of God as a great house. Ruin has come in through the unfaithfulness of man. And we certainly find ourselves in that kind of a circumstance. The church is in ruin. And we find much encouragement and guidance for the believer in such times from this epistle. And we read in the first chapter, first of all, verse 13. Hold fast, verse 13 of chapter 1, the form of sound words, or Mr. Darby renders it, have the form, which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost, which dwelleth in us. I believe this is a challenge to everyone in this room who is a believer. Have a form of sound words. Have an outline of truth is the meaning. A brother, I believe, in his prayer used or referred to the scripture in the Old Testament, buy the truth and sell it not. You know, the challenge is put before you by the Word of God. It was put before Timothy, have an outline of sound words. Because there is much around us and in Christendom that is not sound. In some of the statements that I make this afternoon, I hope you will not take in the wrong way and will take them in the right way, in the spirit in which they are presented. We believe, do we not, that we need constructive criticism. And we ought not to refuse any effort in love to bring before us what is of concern to many. And that is that we seem to be influenced more and more by what is out in the camp. We are patterning our activities and our presentation of scriptural truth after the pattern of the camp. We're losing something, brethren. We're losing discernment and judgment. What is sound words? What are sound words? It is going to have a detrimental effect upon the testimony of the Lord in these closing days. It is already in ruin, and Timothy is reminded that in such a state of things, remember, hold fast the form and have an outline of sound truth. And you have to gather up that outline of sound truth. I can't do it for you. You have to gather it up. And you have the privilege, and I have had the privilege from little on to sit under the ministry of men who brought the truth of God before me, parents and brethren. And we have to make these things our own. We cannot survive strictly on spoon-fed things all of our lives. You can sit under the best of ministry all your life. If there is no personal exercise to make these things your own, to search these things out, you're not making much progress. There ought to be personal exercise to make these things your own. It's a challenge to you. It's a challenge to me. Chapter 2. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the thing that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Timothy had learned these things from Paul. And it seems that Timothy had a special place to fill in connection with the truth of God. You and I might not be exactly in that position, and we are not. Timothy filled that position. But I believe we too, like Timothy, should know from whom we have learned the truth of God. Let's turn to Hebrews. Hebrews 13, verse 7. Remember them which have rule over you, or the lead among you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of your conversation, Jesus Christ the same, yesterday and today and forever. The Lord has raised up men of God in past century to recover the truth of God and give it back to his people. Many have benefited from that way beyond those gathered to the name of the Lord. Our brethren in the camp acknowledge whom the Lord has used to bring back the truth of God to the people of God. And I'm not saying that in a boastful way, but as a matter of fact, they themselves acknowledge whom God has used to give back the truth of God to us. Let's turn back to that source. And then we have those who have faithfully ministered the word of God among us, amongst the gathered saints. How often do we refer, and rightly so, to men now long with the Lord and quote what they have said, because it has been a source of blessing and encouragement to the people of God. It's good to remember what we have been taught and maintain that, hang on to it. On the way to Calgary Conference, we listened to tapes of our brother Henry here that he gave, and he quoted Brother C.H. Brown, that one exercise that he had, and I commend that to all of us, is that he wanted to maintain the truth in the purity in which he had received it. I think that's a good exercise, because the tendency is to water it down, to give it up. That's a present problem, brethren. We need to be reminded, we need to be challenged that we go back to the pure source of truth. I've often referred in ministry to the redigging of the wells. What a helpful passage that is in Genesis 26. They had to redig the wells which the servants of Abraham had dug, and they had to name them with the same name that Abraham gave to them. We have to go back. The Philistines had plucked these wells with earth. You know, the Philistines represent mere professors who occupy the place of profession and blessing, but have no claim to it, and they don't have the Spirit of God. Therefore, they have to rely upon human wisdom in divine things. And whenever you do, it will result in the plugging of the flow of blessings. I believe, I'm not going too far in saying that every generation has the responsibility to redig the wells, to make the things their own. We have in Jude this wonderful statement, to contend earnestly for the truth, once delivered to the saints, not to the fathers, to the saints. How important these scriptures are, not to be contentious, but to contend earnestly for the truth. not to be willing to give an inch. If it is a question of giving up the truth of God, you know, we can give in many ways. And I believe our yieldedness should be known. Let known be known to all men. But when it is a question of the truth of God, we ought not to be willing to give an inch. But ask the Lord for grace and help to maintain what he has entrusted to us. Imitate their faith. You know, we don't want to imitate a person's presentation of scriptural truth and the act and so on. That's a dangerous thing. But the faith that was manifested in those who have walked the path before us, Scripture itself tells us we should imitate that. And Timothy was to pass on what he had heard from Paul to others, to faithful men. Not gifted men, but faithful men. What is a faithful man? A faithful man is a man that maintains what is entrusted to him. You see it demonstrated when the remnant returned from captivity. The vessels were given into their hands, and when they got there, they gave an account, and it was all there. They had been faithful. They had not lost any of it along the way. That's the kind of faithfulness that the Lord is looking for in you and in me. But now let's turn to verse 15. Study or use diligence of chapter 2 of Timothy, 2 Timothy. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. Be approved unto God. And there is a rightly dividing the word of truth, and there is a wrongly dividing the word of truth. You know, a statement already, I believe, has been made that dispensational truth is being attacked more and more in our day. You cannot really have a proper understanding of the Word of God and the ways of God without accepting dispensational truth, that God deals differently at different times, and to recognize what dispensation we are in. And to discern differences, distinctions, and then to rightly apply, rightly divide the word of truth. You know, brethren, I believe we have to acknowledge that sometimes when we have Bible readings, we go on a lot of detours, and we have a lot of quaint, nice thoughts that we bring in, but we don't really expound the scriptures. And the Lord might well use some of these thoughts to encourage the people of God, but when we open up a passage in the Word of God, I believe we ought to make an effort to stick to that passage and expound it. I believe our brother Ron's exercise that he has repeatedly mentioned at conferences is well taken and is needed. And when we think back of Brother Armstead Berry, when he was still among us, how often have we appreciated when we were going on detours that he said, "Brother, let's get back to the subject." You know, that he brought us back. The Lord certainly can use, like this morning, I for one felt that in view of the sadness and events that came to our attention, it might well have been of the Lord that we paid as much attention as we did to the subject that we took up and dwelled on Job and so on. But I think we have to be gracious in these things and not be legal, but I believe we can improve, can we not, on disciplining ourselves to try to expound the Word of God. You know, I believe there's even a danger of fanciful interpretations. Fanciful interpretations for which we have no scripture. Remember what Peter says, that no scripture is of a private interpretation. Scripture interprets scripture. I believe we should not expect people to accept my interpretation when I have no scripture to back it up with. It is just my word that they have to accept. Brethren, I believe there is room for that, to accept and weigh these thoughts, whether we do not sometimes allow ourselves liberties with the word of God for which we have to answer to the Lord. We have to remember this is the word of God, and I cannot allow my imagination to go wild. When Paul wrote the epistle to the Philippians, he had certain things in mind to teach the people of God. The same with Corinthians and Ephesians. And we ought to use all diligence to communicate what the Spirit of God was presenting to the people of God at that time by his servant. And there can be only one interpretation. And what is that interpretation? And we better get a hold of that, because if we don't have a clear understanding of what the interpretation is, we might make a mistake in the application. There might well be various applications. And the Word of God is broad. But let's be clear, first of all, what is the primary purpose for this epistle, for this passage in the Word of God, because that will keep us from going off the deep end in our applications. Well, the Lord can keep us. And what a challenge it is for anyone who takes the place of a teacher among the people of God to instruct, to remember rightly dividing the word of truth. Let's also read some verses in chapter 3, verse 13. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Well, I'm one that was privileged to grow up in a Christian home, and that is probably the case with most of you here. And I, for one, do not remember any time in my life that I ever had any doubt that the Bible was the Word of God, that it had highest authority. That wasn't until 17 years of age that I had assurance of salvation. But what a privilege it is from a child to get to know the Word of God, to learn to know the stories of the Bible. And then when we receive that new life, that Spirit of God indwelling us, the power for spiritual apprehension, what a wonderful thing it is. We don't have to come and learn the historical facts of Scripture and the contents of Scripture. We already know it. That was the case with Timothy. What a privilege it is. And what a privilege it is to grow up in a home where the Word of God is referred to continuously. Dear mother, many times, would quote the Scriptures. And I'm sure sometimes she wouldn't quote them rightly. She would quote a scripture in connection with a situation where there would have partly been scriptures that were more suited and better fitting to the situation. But the fact was communicated clear and loud that in every situation that arises in our life, we ought to turn to the Word of God. We ought to bring in the scriptures and have the scriptures applied to that situation. Oh, how wonderful it is to have this book. It's that chart, it's the compass that we have for our path through this scene. Let me also turn to 1 Peter. Four, verse 10. As every man has received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Well, are you exercised? Am I exercised to be a help among the people of God? Let's remember this scripture. Let us not think higher of ourselves than we ought to think. Romans chapter 12. Let us not assume a place for which the Lord has not qualified us. We can only be in that place in which the Lord has put us, a blessing to the people of God. Now, Brother Don, I believe, gave us some nice thoughts on serving, looking at Christ, the perfect servant, and acknowledging that we live in a day when there's very little gift among the people of God, when we cannot claim to be teachers and whatever else you have. But I like to, in that connection here, mention that Scripture also speaks of those who have the ability, able to teach. And those are men, no doubt, who cannot be referred to as teachers, as we have it in Ephesians 4, but they have come to appreciate and know and enjoy the truth of God and have a measure of ability to pass it on. And I believe, beloved, we have to fall back to that in many assemblies. And if we overemphasize gift and do not recognize that there is a way of serving unpretentiously, not claiming to be anything, not even be a gift like we have it in Ephesians 4, but can pass on what the Lord has given us to enjoy and to appreciate in His Word, that which has been a source of joy and comfort and refreshment to our own soul. Just like we can be doing the work of an evangelist, although we are not an evangelist. But how often, brethren, do we fail in abusing the liberty of the Spirit? I certainly have to confess that I've spoken when I really had nothing to say, and we point out in the systems of men, the one-man ministry, and how wrong it is, and And we are not even half as faithful with the abuse of the liberty of the Spirit that we are guilty of. Let us remember these passages as we have it here in Peter, as he has qualified us. And if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. Let us not think higher of ourselves than we ought to think. You know, if I would think I'm a teacher and I'm not, I think higher of myself than I ought to think. If I think I'm an evangelist and I'm not, I think higher of myself than I ought to think. In Romans, you do not have the gifts classified according to their spiritual importance as you have in 1 Corinthians. There you have, again, emphasized the importance of serving the place which the Lord has given you, and you're really the happiest in that place. And you will be the most useful and the source of greatest blessing to the people of God and the strengthening factor in the testimony. Well, I hope, beloved, you do not take some of the remarks that I made to be given in a critical spirit, but I believe we have to be as faithful with ourselves as we are with the unsaved, and as we are in pointing out shortcomings among our brethren in the camp. And may the Lord use his word, weigh what was said this afternoon in the light of the word of God, accept whatever was the truth, and may the Lord take from your hearts whatever was not. Shall we sing 100?